With the Saturday morning scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports KOKK. Semifinals last night of the South Dakota High School football playoffs, with teams advancing to the Dakota Dome Championships next Thursday through Saturday. In Vermilion, game we had on the air last night, Matt Watson made the long road trip out to Wall for Woolsey Wessington at Wall. Class 9A semifinal, a back-and-forth game. Woolsey Wessington seemed to be in control, up 22-0 at halftime, but Wall rallied, scoring with 3.5 minutes to go in the game to take a 28-22 lead, but that left enough time for one last drive for the Warbirds, and they took advantage. Caleb Richmond scored on a 17-yard run to tie it with a minute 15 left. Richmond suffered a cramp and had to sit out a play, so brother Moshe Richmond ran out of the shotgun for the two-point conversion for the winning two-pointer. The last gasp for Wall failed, and Woolsey Wessington going to the Dome with a 30-28 win. Caleb Richmond had two touchdowns rushing, two touchdowns passing. He passed for 185 yards, ran for 118 yards. Woolsey Wessington hands Wall what will be their only loss of the season. Woolsey Wessington will now battle Howard for the 9A championship on Friday morning. Howard pulled away from a 13-13 tie at the end of the third quarter and knocked off fellow unbeaten Warner 40-13, an explosion in the fourth quarter to put Howard in the championship. So Howard and Woolsey Wessington, 10 o'clock Friday morning in Vermilion, will have the game on the air here on KOKK. The other semifinals from last night, a lot of close games, which is how it should be in the semifinals. 11-AAA, Brandon Valley defeated Sioux Falls Jefferson 37-34 in overtime. Sioux Falls Lincoln edged Harrisburg 20-14. The top two seeds, Brandon Valley and Lincoln, will play for the AAA championship next Saturday night. 11-AA, as it goes, they're back. Pier with four losses this year, but seven championship belts in their pocket, upended a top seed Yankton 14-9 to go back to Pier. Pier scored the go-ahead touchdown with 8 seconds remaining. They scored in the first minute of the game and the last minute of the game for their two touchdowns to advance, and they'll be squared up with Watertown. Watertown 20, Brookings 7. So number 2 Watertown, number 4 Pier will play for the 11-AA championship next Friday night. 11A, Sioux Falls Christian, the top seed, defeated West Central 31-7, and 3-seed Lennox shut out 2-seed and defending champion Del Rapids 35-0. Sioux Falls Christian and Lennox play Saturday afternoon for the 11A championship. 11B championship will be Sioux Valley, the top seed and 2-seed winner. Sioux Valley defeated Elk Point Jefferson 28-14. Winner shut out St. Thomas More 36-0. 11B championship Friday afternoon. 9AA, it's Parkston and Hamlin. I believe that's a rematch from last year. Parkston, the defending champ, top seed, defeated Freeman Marion, Freeman Academy 28-22. 2-seed Hamlin 20. 3-seed Elkton Lake Benton 16. 9AA championship will be 7 o'clock Thursday night. And in 9B, 11 o'clock Thursday morning, number 5-seed Sully Buttes defeated number 8-seed Canastota 34-28. 2-seed Falkton defeated Del Rapids St. Mary 48-22. Falkton, Sully Buttes for the 9B championship Thursday morning. And that's the rundown of the high school football championships, or semifinals, I should say, from last night. The All-Nation Championship games were played yesterday in Vermilion. Class A, Pine Ridge edged Winnebago, Nebraska 42-40. Double overtime game took 3.5 hours. There were nearly 50 accepted penalties combined between the two teams. The Class B championship was all Lower Brule. Lower Brule 60, White River 8. High school volleyball last night still have a couple of AA teams playing. Lincoln defeated Rapid City Central in 4. Sioux Falls Washington defeated Rapid City Stevens in 3. Those two Sioux Falls schools and the Rapid City schools will play again today, and then we'll know the SODAC 16 matchups for volleyball, including where Huron will go. Huron locked in at the 14 seed, and right now it looks like they'll play one of Sioux Falls Washington, Sioux Falls Jefferson, or O'Gorman. College basketball scores from last night. Women's scores, Air Force rallied to defeat South Dakota 73-66. South Dakota had a big lead in the first half. South Dakota State at home edged Creighton 76-71. Jack's coach Aaron Johnston earned his 600th career win. Pittsburgh State Kansas defeated Northern 85-55. Men's scores, South Dakota State edged Long Beach State 80-79, scoring in the final seconds for the win. Missouri Western men defeated Northern 75-61. ESD announced their all-conference volleyball team for this past season. Congratulations going out to Huron Tiger junior libero Hilton Hines, named first team all-conference in high school volleyball. Speaking of volleyball, the SODAC 16 matchups and sights are set for Tuesday in Class A and Class B. Huron Arena will be hosting one match on Tuesday. In Class A, number 7 Mount Vernon Plankinton and number 10 seed Groton will play at the arena. Area teams on Tuesday night, Miller with the top seed in Class A will play number 16 Lakota Tech in Fort Pierre. Hitchcock Tulare, the 3 seed, will play number 14 Harriet Selby, that game at Millette. And Woolsey Wessington, the 11 seed, will play number 6 seed Gayville Vaughan in Salem. The rest of the matchups, there's 2 games in Fort Pierre. Mentioned Miller, Lakota Tech, also Mobridge, and a winner. In Class A, Hamlin, number 2, plays number 15, St. Thomas More in Chamberlain. Chamberlain also hosting a Class B matchup, Cross State, Coleman Egan, number 8, Edgemont, number 9. Number 3 seed, Class A, Del Rapids, plays number 14, Roncalli at Dewbrook. 4 seed, Dakota Valley, plays number 13, Hanson in Centerville. Number 5 seed, Baltic, plays number 12 seed and defending champion Sioux Falls Christian in Hartford. There's 2 games in Philip. Class A, Hill City, number 6, number 11, Sioux Valley will play in Philip, as well. Class B, number 5, Burke, and number 12, Harding County. Other Class B matchups, Chester, the top seed, plays number 16, Gregory at Canastota. 2 seed, Warner, plays number 15, Fulton in Redfield. Kadoka, with the 4 seed, plays number 13, Parkston at Todd County. Number 7 seed Faith plays number 10 seed Castlewood in Gettysburg. And again, all those Class A, Class B, SODAC 16 games will be played on Tuesday. Few announcements to pass along. Coming up on Tuesday, Tiger Roar Booster Club will have their postseason potluck for Huron Tiger football. That will start at 6 o'clock in the high school commons. Here on Tiger Boys Basketball, there will be a parent meeting on Thursday, November 14th at the high school, room A121 at 7 o'clock. All parents are required to be there for an informational meeting on the upcoming season. And volleyball, Huron Area Volleyball Club season tryouts for the 2025 JO season will be Sunday, November 24th at the Huron High School Gym. I believe that is a different location than normal. Ages 15 through 18 try out at 1:30, ages 12 to 14 at 3. Parents meeting for everybody at 4, then ages 10 and 11, 5:15 till 6 o'clock. Check-in is open 15 minutes before the division start time. Paperwork will be handed out then. Local players must pre-register before the tryouts. Coming up this morning on Dakota Sports Saturday, we'll hear from Huron Tiger coaches Josh Lean Volleyball. Tigers prepared for the SODAC 16 next Thursday, although still don't know for sure their opponent. They think it'll be Sioux Falls Washington. We'll recap the Huron Tiger football season with head coach Drew Strand and highlight the senior class this year. And we'll talk with Huron High Activities Director Scott DeBorey. He'll talk about his first 4 months on the job, the big scoreboard project that is planned for Tiger Stadium and the Huron Arena, also getting set to transition into winter sports. That's our Dakota Sports Saturday show coming up. That'll be at about 11 minutes after 8 o'clock this morning. With the Saturday morning scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports, KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, and overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
Good morning. First up, Dakota Sports Saturday. We talk here on Tiger Volleyball. Head coach Josh Lean. Tigers 0-2 for the week as they wrap up the regular season at 8-14. Exciting match Tuesday hosted O'Gorman was in the middle school gym due to the election. O'Gorman won the first two sets with ease, but then Huron, a great set in the third, won at 26-24, pushed O'Gorman to the limit in the four set. Knights, though, did pull it out 25-23. And talking to Coach Lean after the match on Tuesday, and Coach, I guess, first two sets, O'Gorman just controlled it. Like the girls fight in the third set, forced O'Gorman a lot of errors. And then that fourth set, 25-23, OG, that was just good old-fashioned toe-to-toe volleyball.
Yeah, it was good, right? So what I appreciated at the end of set two, you know, listen, set two, we were there at, what, 16-15 or something in the middle of that thing, maybe a two-point swing, 16-14, O'Gorman. You know, and you just felt like, gosh, if we could just play one more gear, right, get up another inch, take away a little bit more floor space, we've got a chance to be in it at 20-20, and that's really all we talked about going into set three was let's just muscle up a little bit. Let's let our weight room training kick in. Let's trust our instincts. Let's trust everything we've done. And let's just see if we can't play a little high flying volleyball. And I thought our kids did a really nice job reacting. Our block was right where it was supposed to be. We were for the first time in a long time. And I can say that, you know, the last couple of years that I've been around the program, you know, we played a true rotational defense, and we just really focused on our blockers taking away zone six because we were vacating it on the floor and not putting defense there. And we haven't done that in a long time. And I thought our kids did a great job. Now, set four, it's point for point. We're getting caught up in the emotion of the game. And sometimes our block gets a little bit just lost in the tempo or the speed, caught up in the speed, and we end up at the antenna a little bit. OG hit some good shots, but really, really pleased with the volleyball we played. I thought late in this thing, we played good Tiger volleyball. We played dig or die. Taryn Cass came in and made some digs, and, you know, she hasn't seen a lot of floor time this year. I needed a good, solid left-back defender against one of the best opposites in South Dakota. So she came in and muscled up about four digs when we needed them. And I just thought the kids did a really good job responding and not panicking, even though the first two sets were really what we thought they were going to be.
Thursday night in Brandon seemed like the girls did a carryover. The excitement of the end of the O'Gorman match went toe-to-toe with Brandon Valley in that first set. Neither team led by more than 4 points during the set. Brandon Valley, though, was able to pull it out 25-23, and then just took control from there, won the final two sets to get the sweep. But talking to Coach Lean after the match on Thursday, it was a good start. And it was nice to see the girls go head-to-head with a very athletic and tall Brandon Valley team to start things out.
Yeah, what a difference the momentum makes, right? We're right there, 23-23, or, you know, in the vicinity of that in set one, and couldn't figure out how to close it out. That's a tough one, right? Because you wonder if we could have figured out how to get those 2 points, if the outcome would have changed. But we did jump in set two, and we really, the old adage that you play as good as you pass, nothing could have been truer, because I looked at our serve receive numbers. We were somewhere between 1.5 and 1.7, which just doesn't get it done. And maybe it does get it done if you've got 6-2 outside hitters who can hit out of system. Neither of mine are that, so they were working their butt off just to try to stay positive from a hitting perspective. But yeah, we really, Brandon Valley set two and set three really served us out of the gym.
Yeah, especially that second set, and it was Gianna Stroll that, you know, I'm trying to remember the last time I saw a girl serve that many points in a row. I think she took over with Brandon Valley at 5 and then finally ended it at when they were at 20, so 15 serves in a row. Yeah. And ironically, it ended on a service there. But, boy, you know, that also shows you, too, get the serve in, anything can happen.
Yeah, anything can happen. Well, and we had mixed up our serve receive, and we moved girls around, and we subbed girls, and we did everything we could do just to try to give kids a chance to get their eyes on that ball and maybe give us a hittable ball. And she just, in that moment, she was serving lights out, and it was really difficult for us to get anything that Jensie could get her feet to. And so that, and when we were able to get a good ball, their floor defense played up, right? Their outside hitters just really kind of were working hard to kind of beat us, and that was a struggle, right? So when their setter's in system and they're jumping and the ball's on top of the net, we know their setter's not going to attack, at least not when she's jumping, since she's always in the back row. But it's just real tough, right? They're athletic, they're tall, and we could not effectively, when we were serving, we would serve them out of system. However, we just couldn't get it together long enough to string our points where we needed them.
So now as we look ahead, we go into the postseason here, and we're locked in at 14, as near as I can tell what you said,
so
what
too,
everybody
yep.
said. Yeah, we're locked in at 14 as far as the opponent goes. We have to wait for results, and it's going to wait till Saturday afternoon at
it
least, because there's Lincoln and Washington playing the Rapid City schools. We can pinpoint it down to O'Gorman, Jefferson, and Washington, and right now leaning towards Washington,
are,
but nothing yep. final.
Yeah, so unfortunately, Washington's going to give us the same fits as Brandon Valley did, right? They've got two collegiate outside hitters and that's where we run into trouble, because we can play teams that have a good middle and a good outside, because our middles can muscle up and slow some kids down. But I don't have two good blocking right sides. And so we even tried, threw in Alexis Ziegeldorf to see if she could slow it down. And she did. She gave us some chances. But doing that disrupts our rhythm, because you switch setters, because Reagan's got to come in. And then really you take one of our, you know, intrinsic leaders off the floor as well when Maddie Juergens has to come off in order to put Reagan in. And so it does, I felt like I saw some good things out of that movement. We quit trying that like 3 months ago, but maybe it's something that we're going to have to consider moving to towards Washington. But, you know, I thought Rory, you know, Rory's our go-to kid, right? And she really did a good job blocking and taking care of number four when they were matched up. I told the girls, I get frustrated when I get out coached in sets one and two, and even set one, we didn't get the matchup we wanted because Coach Grage was making sure her senior was in the starting lineup. I didn't catch that. And then I adjusted for their adjustment and then realized she went back to normal, so I missed the right matchups in the first two sets. So we were scrambling a little bit there, but when Rory was in the front, she really took advantage. She's playing through some things, right? Our team's got some things this next week, because it's not all about volleyball. You know, I think it's okay to say it's public now. Aurora, you know, her dad passed away, and so she's been, you know, trying to juggle those emotions. And Brandon Valley, you know, gifted her, gave her a gift at the end of the game, and really trying to just be gentle. And Rory didn't want to do anything other than be here to play volleyball. And I felt that through all of that, when you're 17 years old,
her play was fairly impressive in spite of us not being able to be in system.
And Aurora Dreyer, that's a lot to deal with at that age. You know, the team's there for support, but that's tough too. They knew Rory's dad as well. And, you know, and you're dealing with teenagers here, and you can go to all the coaching clinics in the world, and there's not a seminar on this situation.
There is not a drill book on how to deal with this one, right? And so, you know, we just continue to tell Rory that, you know, When it's tough, we're here to help her get through it. We're going to catch her when she falls, because at some point she's going to fall hard. And she's got a volleyball team that loves her. And sometimes it's not about volleyball, right? And so we're going to help her along the way. We're going to support her Monday at the funeral. We're going to make sure we rearrange practice so that we're not conflicting, obviously. But we just need to be here for each other. And these moments make us better as a team. And that shows how much her teammates love her, and we're going to be better for it. Now, next week, we've got to juggle that and focus on a practice plan that's going to beat whatever Metro Conference team we think we're going to have to battle.
It'll be one of them.
And we're going to have to get on the road. And we're, you know, again, how can we take the momentum we had in set one and keep it going? Well, that's why my staff and I get paid the big bucks, right? So we're going to go ahead and get back to the gym and get to work. I'm proud of Rory. I'm proud of her showing up and being the kid that she is. Her dad would be proud, and there's no doubt about that. And next week's a new week, and every day we're going to take a deep breath, and we're going to do what's right for each other. And so we believe Washington, so that's my job, is to start getting practice ready for that. And if it changes, we'll adjust and see if we can upset somebody next week.
Josh Lean, head coach here on Tiger Volleyball. Tigers wrapped up the regular season with a record of 8-14. Again, looks like they're locked in as the number 14 seed in the SODAC 16. They'll be on the road next Thursday somewhere in the Sioux Falls area. As of now, most signs point to Sioux Falls, Washington. We'll know later today of the matchup. We'll be back on Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
We're back on Dakota Sports Saturday, and we're visiting with Drew Strand, head coach of the Huron Tiger football team. Tigers finished out their season at 4-6, 4-5 regular season, then a first-round loss in the playoffs to Watertown. But Drew, overall, I think everybody's pleased with how this season went. Going in, we just felt, boy, there's so much learning to do. We're so inexperienced to come out of the season with four wins, including two come-from-behind wins. These kids accomplished a lot in a two-month period.
Yep. I mean, you know, looking coming into the season, we were definitely a younger team coming into it, you know, with only a few seniors or a few guys that have played, you know, a lot of it. So the way that it turned out, I think, you know, coaching staff, community-wise, we're very excited. And, you know, just thankful for what the kids did turn out. Like you've said, two come from behind victories. You know, I think our kids, you know, learned a lot real quick, especially, you know, starting off the season against three of the tougher teams and getting blown out. But then after that, kind of really finding a groove and figuring out how to compete and just kind of play through all the adversity that they had to overcome at times through some of these games. And those come from behind victories, you know, are always nice to have, and you get to see the fire and the fight in the kids. And I think we did a lot of that this season and just continue to grow. And I think, you know, we're super excited moving forward from here.
And we'll just run down. There were 8 seniors on the roster this year, 4 of whom really played a lot of football, really from their sophomore year on. So first off, we'll just go numerically here with the seniors. Start off with Colt McNeil, quarterback. Basically, he took 97% of the quarterback snaps here his junior, senior year.
Yep, I mean, he's done all around good job at quarterback. You know, couldn't ask for a better guy to have in there. Well, we've been trying to change the offense and kind of move our system around and kind of what we want to, and just kind of the dual threat that we kind of needed of being able to run the ball when he gets the chance and being able to air it out and really stretch the field. And he's done a fantastic job, you know, with the X's and O's parts. And also, he's a kid that's always showed up, you know, each time, every time, no matter what it is, and always played his heart out. So couldn't be more prouder of him. And I've spent a lot of time with him over these years and got to know him really well, you know, on the football level and personal level, and definitely will miss him in the future.
And then next one is number 9, Thackeray Hansen. He came in starting his sophomore year, really struggled with injuries. I think he broke an arm or something like that in his first game as a sophomore, and then really struggled with a shoulder injury this year, got about half the season in. And that's kind of those what would have been. He's one of the fastest kids in the state.
Yep, I mean, definitely. You know, having Thackeray on the team definitely adds another dimension. You know, another thing that other teams got to scout for with his just pure explosiveness. You know, he's definitely got the explosiveness of a football player, and is super excited, you know, that he came over to us and got a chance to kind of showcase himself as a Huron Tiger and just kind of get after it. And I know he really enjoys it and loved playing with the guys. Unfortunately, the injuries came about, you know, and it was kind of hindering, you know, year in and year out. So, you know, just to have him and when he was on the field definitely helped us out, and just super proud of the kid and what he's accomplished as well.
Now, Colby Hofer, a 3-year starter on defense, played a lot on offense as well. He also missed about a game and a half, two and a half games, something like that, with injury this year that he suffered against Tieria. Was our all-conference selection, all ESD. And yeah, I remember you talked about him as a sophomore and said, I just put him out there at linebacker, and we just know he's going to do his assignments, do what he's supposed to do.
Yep, I mean, true definition of an assignment player, you know, he's always a humbled kid. He always does what he's supposed to do, a hard-working kid. Definitely going to be hard to replace a kid like Colby Hofer, especially a 3-year starter and doing everything, being able to kind of be the quarterback on that defensive side of the ball and just kind of take that over, and really did a fantastic job of controlling. And, you know, hats off to a lot of these seniors just for bringing these younger guys in that started this season. And, you know, they really did a fantastic job of kind of showing them the ropes. And Colby Hofer was one of those kids that were right there with them, kind of pushing them along the way and helping them out.
Then number 30, Jonathan Bubba Peterson. That's a kid I've known the longest. I can't remember when he was born, but every year I would ask him before the season, you want Jonathan, you want Bubba, and he would never answer. The kids around him would always yell Bubba, so just went with that. And there's another guy, you know, he started on defense from his sophomore year on, played a lot on offense as well. In fact, beginning of this year, he was basically our running back. He really hadn't played much tailback, which surprised me, but you know what? Needed somebody with injuries at the beginning of the season. Other than that, he could play anywhere, H-back, wide receiver, anywhere.
Yep, I mean, he did a good job offensively. We moved him around a lot. You know, I kind of used him as a utility guy, definitely in spots where, you know, other people didn't know their role, and he definitely came in and figured it out and continued to move forward. And defensively, he did a fantastic job for us on the outside at linebacker spot and just kept continuing to move forward and drive forward. And Bubba, I see him all the time, you know, even in baseball and everything like that. So just definitely a big personality that we're going to miss moving forward and not having that.
Next on the list, Marcus Anderson, I believe, just came out this year. You know, looking at the size of the kid, it would have been nice to be able to work with him a few more years than that. But, you know, just good to see a kid was interested to come out, wanted to be with the guys, wanted to be a part of the team.
Yep, I mean, Marcus came out this season, unfortunately, just his first year. But, you know, he did a fantastic job. You know, I know a lot of people don't see it, but he was a good job for our scout guys to be able to, you know, he was one of our scout guys that went in, and he would have to, you know, make us better, you know, for the games on Friday. And it truly showed, you know, what those young guys could do on Friday night goes back to what he did, you know, during the week against them and just kind of pushing them to move forward. And, you know, he enjoyed being around the guys, and we enjoyed having him, so it was nice to have him around.
Also, Dominic Proia is another one, too. In fact, if you're given MVP for fundraising, Dominic's your guy.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody could ever come close to him in that aspect of it. And he did a good job. You know, he was in there. He worked his tail off in practice, too, and was always trying to get better. So, you know, hats off to him and being around. And, you know, we're sure going to miss a personality like he brings as well. You know, they each kind of have their own individual, and he's definitely got his own. And I know he had a lot of connections with the other coaches as well.
Next, Logan Leyendecker, and I kind of call these guys the core four, Colton McNeil, Colby Hofer, Bubba Peterson, Logan Leyendecker, the kids that were with the program from sixth grade all the way up, you know, gave a lot to the program. 2-year starter in both offense and defense, did get hit with a few injuries this year.
Yep, I mean, that really hurt us a little bit, you know, offensively and defensively when Logan got hurt. Definitely a very good corner for us to have, and a guy that did a fantastic job on defense. And then on offensively, you know, he was kind of the one that kind of, you know, slid underneath of everybody and actually came out on top. You know, so I know it's tough when you don't get all the accolades that you have and need, but, you know, he's definitely one of those guys that we'll miss having him around, and I like having Logan. He was one of those guys that just kind of got after it, and he was a flashy kid, and I kind of like his personality and things like that.
And last senior on the list is our kicker, Micah Larson. I think he came on last year and was consistent. He split his time with soccer, which is what we have been doing with our place kickers the past few years. But, boy, when you look at two big kicks, the field goal against Aberdeen and then the extra point that put us up by 2 scores against Mitchell, that was two of our biggest plays of the year.
Yep, I mean, he was a guy that came out, he's always coming to practice, and you know, that's kind of all he did was kicked, and you know, got to have some conversations with him about it and really enjoyed having him around. He reminded me a lot of when Dramstead kid used to play for us, you know, and no matter what the outcome is, he's always happy, he's always excited, and that's kind of how Micah was, and he did a fantastic job. And you know, unfortunately, it'd be nice to get them when they were earlier so we could kind of get a little more distance on them. But, you know, for what they do and how they show up and be in two sports in the same season, it's just a phenomenal job on having them. And we're just thankful that, you know, we can get a couple of them to come out and kind of try that and kind of be our, you know, our go-to guys when we need our extra points or place kickers, things like that. So definitely going to miss having him around as well.
And finally, these 8 guys, just so much to the program. You know, you'd like to have bigger classes than this. I know we counted Watertown. I think it was 20 seniors, 21 juniors. Take nothing away from these guys because they gave so much to the program.
Yep. I mean, I look at our guys, and I know our list is small, but, you know, we ask a lot of our seniors, and we kind of submerge them in both sides of the football, offense and defense. So, you know, hats off to these guys and the phenomenal job that they've had. I know that, you know, they'll be remembered by us. No matter the size of the class, and I thought they did a fantastic job even just coming through the program and representing, you know, kind of what we're trying to do and what I'm trying to do as the head coach with Huron football. And I think, you know, these guys coming through all 3 years with me, you know, has just benefited me and seeing the growth in them and seeing what growth they have, looking forward to the future for all of them as well.
You know, so 8 seniors, you say goodbye, but we also know we have a lot of kids back. Retention is a big thing now. I know the entire O-line, pretty much the entire D-line, should be back this year. Now it's just getting the kids committed to the weight room, to other sports, like to see all the football players out for something, for track and field, and, you know, wrestling, basketball in the winter takes up, though. Just keep active and keep interested in being a Huron Tiger.
Yep, I mean, stay active and just kind of, yeah, like you said, be here on Tiger and just kind of go out and support, you know, our community and our school. I think our guys have done a fantastic job so far of that, and just continue to do that and show your support, and then just set goals. You know, I think we got a lot of young kids here, you know, that want to set high goals for themselves, so hopefully they just kind of get reminders of those goals and they go in and find the weight room in the off season and just continue to progress forward. Because, you know, I think this young group that they have coming up, which will be definitely, you know, based on these seniors that are leaving, but just the leadership that they kind of gave them off with, and just kind of those young guys now to kind of grab onto that torch and kind of follow the lead of how they left it and just continue to progress and move forward.
So now, as we look ahead, I know, when does wrestling practice start?
The 18th of November.
So you got another week and a half year off. So, but I know your second year as head girls wrestling coach, and I guess the main thing there is you don't lack for numbers. Experience, though, another part of it, though.
Yep, a lot of new girls. You know, I know this year we did our weight certification already, and I had 14 girls show up. So, you know, definitely a good thing when you got numbers. Just got to find space and figure out where we're going to have practice at, which is always a good thing to be able to have that problem. You know, These girls are excited about it and really looking forward to it. So, you know, it'll be another great year. Just got to continue to gain experience on that level as well.
Drew Strand, head coach here on Tiger Football. Tigers finish out the season at 4-6. One last time out, we'll be back on Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
Your headquarters for sports is Dakota Sports on KOKK.
We're back on Dakota Sports Saturday, and we're visiting with Huron High Activities Director Scott DeBoer. Scott took over the job from Terry Roeder back on July 1st, so in his fifth month on the job right now. And I guess, for lack of a better words, Scott, so far so good. Doesn't sound like, as you get into the job, not much has come up that's really surprised you.
No, and I think some of that's a credit to Coach Roeder for how well laid out he had things and how well organized he had things. A lot of it's a credit to the people that work within the Huron School District to kind of keep things rolling. And and you kind of mentioned it off the air, but I've had enough experience around the ESD coaching. I've got really good mentors that I can call. So felt like coming into the job, I had a pretty good background and expectation of what it looked like and what it would mean. And for the most part, a lot of that stuff has kind of played out the way I expected. Certainly there's things that are maybe a little bit more intense or less intense than you anticipate, but for the most part, things have kind of gone the way I've expected.
You know, and probably the biggest things you did here as far as a big event this fall was the two big cross-country meets that we hosted, the Huron Invitational and then the ESD, and actually the invite, I assume, was a bigger meet than the ESD was. But just hosting a cross-country meet of the magnitude of those two, it takes a lot of people, and you're covering a lot of ground out there on Broadland.
Yeah, and we are really lucky to have a partnership with Ben Drott and Broadland out there, and you run those two events this year knowing that the state meet next year is kind of looming in front of us, and so trying to make sure that you kind of have a feel for how things are going to go and things that you want to iron out when the meet is as big as it gets. And then with the ESD, it's not as many teams maybe as our invite, but every team makes a big deal of it, as we know here in Huron, that ESD means a lot to the kids and the schools that are a part of it. And so you try to make sure that you're dotting all your I's and crossing your T's for that one too. But like I said, it was good for us to be able to run both of those meets this year, knowing that the state meet was coming next year, and trying to figure out what things we have to plan for, what changes have happened in the last couple of years that we have to get ready for next year.
You know, and as I look at the fall season, probably maybe the busiest season. Really, there's three seasons, fall, winter, and spring, and you just have a lot of different sports going, certainly more than you have in the winter with cheer and dance, golf, tennis, cross country, football, volleyball. I might even have one or two slip through the cracks there, but the bottom line is that there aren't many days where there is not a home event in Huron.
Yeah, pretty much half the sports offerings that we have happen in the fall, so it's kind of a blur. That's the piece to this role that's been kind of new and exciting for me is, you know, throughout the fall, every day you turn around, you've got kind of a different group of kids that you're preparing for and a different event and different rules and kind of a different subset of your student athlete population. So that's been fun to kind of get some exposure to a lot of different sports and different kids. And But certainly, yeah, it's a whirlwind in September and October.
You know, some people may not realize this if they're just kind of casual observers, but you think, oh, yeah, you're running all the varsity events. Yeah, you are, but also middle school, sub-varsity. You know, they're, like I said, there's a different given event going most days.
Yeah, and it's interesting, too, because, you know, some sports like volleyball, you run all your lower-level games the same night as your varsity, so everything's kind of one big event. Sports like football, you've got to kind of separate, so you might have an eighth grade game on a Monday and then a freshman game on a Thursday and a varsity game on a Friday, and so they all kind of have their unique upsides and challenges as you prepare for them throughout the year.
Now, we're getting set here now. Basically, we just have volleyball going here, then switch over to winter. Really, the switch over to the winter sports has already started because middle school girls basketball, 7th and 8th, has started. That was a change that began last year. So the second year, it's kind of an ESD thing with 7th and 8th grade girls basketball in November up through Christmas, and then middle school boys, 7th and 8th, starting basically after the new year till the end of February. And there were a couple of reasons there. Gym space, officials was a big one, but it sounds like the returns on this new system have been pretty good.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to kind of see it play out from this perspective. I think it offers some different things in terms of opportunities for our kids. It certainly helps alleviate some of the pressure on our officials and gym space. You know, I'm coming from out in Pierre where it was allowing us to expand our schedule a little bit. That's not as much the case here in Huron, but it just kind of speaks to the variety of offerings that it helps to create with that change.
But like I said, you know, a lot of that had to do with gym space. You know, sometimes teams have to practice later in the evening. You know, we have more floors, I think, than we had when you were playing some 20, 25 years ago. But yet still we're always dealing with gym space. And, you know, and that's not a Huron thing. That's everybody.
You should go into the upper end of that age window, too, on me. But, yeah, it's amazing just even in having conversations this week with our wrestling coaches. We in Huron, we have probably a better setup for facilities than anybody in the ESD and probably about any AA school. And we're still looking like we're cramped for certain places and at certain times. So everybody is in the same boat in terms of wishing they had a little bit more gym space or opportunities that they can spread some people around. We're really fortunate in Huron that we've got the Tiger Activity Center that houses gymnastics, cheer and dance, and wrestling, and boys and girls wrestling. And then obviously we've got a number of places that we can put basketball teams too in the wintertime. But yeah, it's still with the number of upper and lower levels, and as we continue to try to keep our numbers growing, that puts a strain on those things too. But it's the right problem to have, and it's a good problem to have, and it's something that we just got to keep trying to be creative with how we use our facilities.
You're talking with Scott DeBoer, Activities Director for the Huron Tigers. Again, I always try to do an update here this time of year with our AD, just things going on and that sort of thing. We mentioned officials, and, you know, I know when I talked to you last summer, you felt you were in pretty good shape getting officials assigned. And, you know, again, we're talking middle school all the way up through varsity, but we're still always on the lookout for officials. And if somebody's interested, any sport, wrestling, basketball, volleyball, football, whatever, get a hold of you. And we got a lot of mentors in town that will help a new person come along.
Well, you're right. You know, and we're set up well, like I said, in part because of Coach Roeder's organization. We're set up well because we've got really good people here in Huron that understand that to really make these things happen, they've got to give some of their time. And so we're really fortunate here in town that we've got officials that are willing to step up and cover. But I still get really excited when somebody says, hey, I'm so-and-so coming to town and interested in getting involved with athletics, because you're right, we need to kind of cycle in some new blood. And and like you said, we've got people that are excited to offer that opportunity to young people or people that want to be involved in sports and come into it. We've got really good officials right around town, and they're anxious to help each other and help new people come along. So yeah, we're lucky here in Huron, but it's certainly something that we want to stay ahead of and not be trying to chase down a shortage.
Well, lastly here now, and I saved it for last, and that's the scoreboard project. Probably this is the biggest project you inherited taking over in July. Need to replace the scoreboard system at the arena and also at Tiger Stadium. And, you know, you go to the arena, in fact, you just think, you know what, that's still, you know, it seems like a top of the line. But when you look at it, it was installed in 2005. You were still in high school at the time. It's 20 years old. And I know you, when you talked to the Board of Education about the project, you said, really, that was a system that had a life of probably 10 to 15 years, so we're probably 5 to 6 years over, and you know it's just time.
Yeah, it's I think it represents an exciting opportunity for the district, you know, modernizing some of those things, and it'll give us the capability, the things that we're going to put into place there will give us the capability at the arena to host a lot of different events. It'll be a unique environment for sports, certainly, but I think it'll give us some versatility to draw some different things or to really change the experience of some of the things that already happen at the arena.
You know, because we do some things there at the arena and not everybody else does, and in particular when we do the light show for lineups, we do it, you know, we've done it, I think we did it once or twice here for volleyball, you know, and it's a good, you know, we got the B girls tournament coming in again this year, so, you know, we have a chance to showcase, you know, that was very well received when we started that, but now too, we add in the scoreboard system, you know, we hope to put on a good show. The arena system, we do hope to have in by the time we host that B tournament second week of March.
Yeah, that was a little bit of the urgency behind getting the project going this fall, is being able to have it implemented and being able to play around with it a little bit before that state B tournament. We'll certainly probably still have some things to iron out and ways that we can maximize it in the coming years that maybe we won't have quite a system for during the state B tournament, but I think we'll be able to make a pretty cool experience for those kids coming into town, and that was, I think, part of our selling point as the committee came together, is how do we continue to ensure a partnership between the district and the community, because I think there is a responsibility on the part of the school district to bring in some of these events, you know, state meet cross country, like we talked about, the state B basketball tournament, all of those generate opportunities for local businesses, but they also are a chance for us to market some of the cool things about Huron and about our school district as well.
And I mentioned you are going to replace the football stadium. That's the one that really sticks out a little more, that has probably needed a little help. You weren't here last year, but the last two home games we had last year, the scoreboard was not operating. And then when we got things turned on this year, ready to go, the scoreboard part worked, but the video part didn't. And, you know, so, it, you know, again, we're probably past the end of the life of that one, too. So it just seemed natural. We needed to replace that one as well.
Yeah, I think people maybe look past or underestimate that those scoreboards that were put in 20 years ago were a revenue-generating opportunity with some sponsorships and things like that. The signage that you see in the arena, these scoreboards represent another level of that revenue opportunities as far as exposure to local businesses, but also some advertising money that comes in and kind of supplements what the initial cost of those scoreboards end up being.
And bottom line here, just wrap it up with this, you're in your fifth month now on the job, but the job never ends, for there's always something coming across the desk, small things, big things, in between things.
Yeah, it's been that's been part of the fun of it, though, is it's something new, it's a learning experience every day, and like I said, it's a chance to kind of get exposed to a lot of different sports and different student athletes, and in ways that maybe I haven't had a chance to do in other roles that I've had.
Scott DeBoer, Activities Director for the Huron School District, reflecting back on his first 4 or 5 months on the job, and also other activities coming up. Again, if you'd like to be an official, and this doesn't just go for Huron, this goes statewide, they are always looking for officials, not just talking basketball here heading into the winter, but also wrestling as well. Contact your local athletic director, and they can set you in the right direction and probably give you a little work right off the bat as well. That wraps up Dakota Sports Saturday. Up next, Territorial Rodeo Update, brought to you by Premier Equipment of Huron. Thanks for listening to Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.
Here we go with a special NFR preview edition of the Territorial Rodeo Update with Purple Wave Warrior J.D. Struxness. Shout out to PurpleWave.com, DiscountWesternWear.com, and legendary Sioux Steel Company. Here's the man, the man's man, Monty James.
Here we go with an NFR edition of the Territorial Rodeo Update and America's Top 5 Countdown. Always a pleasure to have the Purple Wave Warrior Bulldogger J.D. Struxness as our guest. Double purple because he rides for the brand at Purple Wave Auction, and he is a native son of Milan, Minnesota, and Lacqua-Parle County. How are you feeling about the Vikings this year, JD?
It's always fun to see him have a great start to the season like this. You know, you gotta stick with them no matter what, so to be off to a good start, hopefully they just keep the momentum going and maybe show us some magic at the end of the year.
This might be the year. I'm feeling it. You too?
I'm feeling it. I hope there's lots of purple magic going on at the end of the year here for both me and the Vikings, so hopefully we both end it well.
Right on. Well spoken, sir. Tell us about your pre-NFR schedule. Are you pretty much rodeoing full-time or maybe resting up and spending time with your family before the 10-day marathon?
I get to do a little bit of both. My schedule got busier here in November than I thought it was going to be. I'm headed out to Phoenix, Arizona right now for the Hondo Rodeo event they're having out here this year, so we're excited to be able to get out here for that. Then I'll head back to Texas and we'll get some family time in and a few events a little closer to home, and we'll practice right there close to the house. My traveling partners, Sin and Rowdy Parrott, Matt Reeves, they'll all be coming over to practice and help us get ready. You know, we're looking forward to that. You know, busy is good, but get that family time, a little bit of rest before the finals, and get all tuned up and be ready to rock and roll.
I like it. You're sitting number 5 in the world before Vegas, and you're only $50,000 out of first place. What's the game plan going into the NFR?
There's so much money out there now that it can be anybody's game. You know, our game plan is we go out there and take it one round at a time, you know, do what we can on each individual steer, and find a way to fight to the top of that average and fight through all 10 days, and hopefully, you know, if it all goes good, we'll end up with a lot of money out there through both the rounds and the average, and just see where everything lies at the end.
Right on. We're rooting for you. Now, you've been to the NFR 5 times. Any advice on places to dine or raise a little heck if you're coming in from the deep country?
Yeah, our go-to the last few years, just because it's convenient and good food. It's been bootleggers down there by the South Point Casino as far as something to eat. It has got a little bit of variety for everything, an Italian steakhouse. That's been our go-to. It's convenient, and then New Resorts World that Casey Jones puts on. You know, they said that's a heck of a time. I haven't made it for a few years with the little ones around now. I spent most of my time with them and not a whole lot of late nights anymore. So, but from what I've heard, they said that was a great time last year, and I'm sure Casey Jones does a good job with that. He'll continue it.
Absolutely. I like the dad factor, too. That's awesome. J.D. Struxness, a Purple Wave Warrior, we wish you best of luck and a gold buckle at the 2024 National Finals Rodeo.
Thank you.
In these days of consolidation, conglomerations, and giant corporate-owned dealerships, it's nice to see farm and ranch family-owned Premier Equipment expanding. See their impressive New Holland lineup at PremierEQSD.com or visit their hometown locations in Eureka, Battle, Huron, Mowbridge, Isabel, and now Sturgis. Bill Linscove started this outfit in 1951, and now 4 generations later, they are still going strong and getting stronger. Parts counter is open and the coffee is always on at the 6 Premier Equipment New Holland locations at PremierEQSD.com.
It's about that time. We sit down with Reg Kleinsasser from the Real Estate Connection weekly. We check in with, see what new properties we might have for sale out there, maybe some issues dealing with real estate. Remember, if you have an issue, you got a question about the process, you got a question about a specific property, you could call or you can text Reg at 605-350-2223. You could text him on a Sunday afternoon when you think of something. I mean, don't expect, you know, a 5-minute turnaround, but actually he probably will. Reg is usually on top of it. 605-350-2223. Whether you have a question about a property you saw online at realestatehuron.com, or again, just a question about the process, he'll hook you up. He wants to make sure all your questions are answered, as this is a little bit of a confusing process. Sometimes Reg makes it easy over there at the Real Estate Connection. Remember, you can stop and see them, Dakota Avenue South. You can call the office, 605-352-1300. Check them out online at realestatehuron.com or get a hold of Reg directly at 605-350-2223. You can also contact Carol Geetson, the other agent there, at 605-461-1383. Mention the website, realestatehuron.com. Hop on there. Not only will you find the Real Estate Connection listings, you'll also find the multiple list listings because they are a member. And hokey smokes, is there a lot of listings? Go to real estate.